Hi, Monk Podcast listeners. The following is a sample of the Monk Members Only Podcast. To access the full-length edition of this episode and all of our regular Monk Members Only Podcasts, go to our website, www.monkdebates.com, and register for membership. Membership is free, and it's available for you right now at www.monkdebates.com. Hope you enjoy the program. Hello, Monk members. Rudyard Griffiths here, the host and moderator of the Monk Debates. It's time for our weekly Monk Members Only podcast. This is the half-hour program we produce for you each Friday, looking back at the week that was, trying to unpack the big stories and issues in the news, and hopefully leave you with some new analysis and insights on the week that was. Our guide, as always in these conversations, is the irreplaceable Janice Gross Stein. She is the founding director of the Monk School of Global Affairs, an internationally acclaimed author, scholar, and Janice, just someone I always enjoy speaking to you at the end of the week to try to figure out what the heck just happened.
Great to be with you, Rudyard, and with all the Monk members. And thank you for all the emails. Keep them coming.
That's right. If you've got a comment, a suggestion, if there's a topic you want Janice to address on this program, please send us an email to podcast@monkdebates.com. That's M-U-N-K, not M-O-N-K, debates.com. Well, Janice, I think to jump in here on our first issue, I'd like to discuss, go a bit bigger picture on this third wave, because it's really, I think, hit home this week for all of us. I, like many families here in Canada, have young children. They're now out of school for the next couple of weeks. I think possibly much longer to come. Our economy shut down fully. 8-9 million people, on the basis of hitting, you know, sub 500 patients, COVID patients, as tragic as that is, in ICUs. And I guess what I'm really grappling with, Janice, is maybe like a lot of Canadians, I'm starting to lose the faith. I'm starting to feel like that belief I had in Canadian competency is getting sacrificed on the crest of this third wave. You know, growing up as I did, I was okay not being as rich as the Americans, as frenetic as the Israelis, as plucky as the New Zealanders or Aussies, because I kind of believed in POG. I believed in that third part of our constitutional slogan, peace, order, and good government. And I just look at this third wave and its effects and the fact that we're a year into this and we really haven't solved any of the big challenges of COVID. Help me here, Janice. I'm losing faith. I'm really having a bit of an existential crisis about, has this country kind of lost competency?
You are not alone, Rudyard, if that's any comfort. This crisis of faith is quite widespread among Canadians. So how justified is it? It is really the question. So let me tell you where it's not justified and then where it is. Where it's not justified, we are average performers. We are just average. If you compare us, we are not as good as the Brits, the plucky Brits, the frenetic Israelis.
But Janice, don't the Brits have a 56% vaccination rate on their population?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
I think
yes,
that's a little bit better than us at about 18.
That is way better than us. The United States is way better than us. But the Americans, the Brits, and the frenetic Israelis, so true, are outliers, believe it or not. They are pulling the average up. But when we compare ourselves, now, you know, we are the doughty Angela Merkel, whom everybody admired. They've stopped doing that now, but everybody admired for her stodgy competence. That's mm-hmm. what people thought was so great about Angela Merkel. Well, Germany is no better than we are. France is no better than we are. Italy is no better. We are right in the middle of the average pack. So that's the first point that I think is important for Canadians to realize. The second, and I think this is partly why there is an existential cry of despair from so many people, this third wave is worse, much worse than the first and the second. Mm-hmm. And the reason it's much worse is we are dealing with a wave caused by variants that are more contagious and are more deadly. Now, this is what viruses do. They're smart. They evolve, they mutate, and they outsmart the treatments. And I, frankly, governments have not been as smart as the virus. And that's true in that whole average pack. So the question for Canadians is, are we okay being average? And you started this morning and you said, yeah, I mean, I'm fundamentally okay being average as long as we get peace, order, and good government.
Yeah, as long as we're competent.
Yeah, well, and that's, I think, the big discussion. And quite frankly, there are huge pockets of incompetence in the management of this. Of this, especially third wave, which was so foreseeable.
Yes.
And people in every sector recognize this, and that's what's amazing. In quiet conversation, in the private sector, there are businesses that should have been aggressively testing people in factories where they know people are cheek to jowl, should have moved aggressively on saying to their workers, if you're sick, you stay home and we will pay for that, because in fact, the cost is much less than what we're going through right now. So let's not let the private sector off the hook here. In the public sector, again, behind the veil, there are public servants who are looking at what is a scattered performance across this country. And they are asking themselves, are we a country? How do we have the variation in competence across this country at the provincial level that we do? So Nova Scotia, to take one example, far from home, is an absolute beacon of light. They had a phenomenally capable doctor, Lisa Barrett, who got out in front of this and partnered up with a just fantastic public servant. And, you know, in Nova Scotia, there's no vaccine urgency. They have one case in the hospital right now, one case. And that, so the Atlantic provinces got this, and Nova Scotia's the leader there, got this brilliantly right. Ontario and Quebec are not in that league.
Yeah.
And so we're seeing this unevenness, and more to the point, what is lacking, and I find this so frustrating, what is lacking is a national sense of urgency, where we suspend that's the real issue here, where we suspend the politics as usual, the business as usual, and we say, hey, folks, we align around what we think is the best, the state of the art. We learn. And we do it fast, and we say to the public what we told you 2 or 3 weeks ago, you know what, it was right when we told you, it's not right now, because we're dealing with a smart virus that's evolving, and that's the score. And I frankly believe, Roger, that when either private sector leaders or public sector leaders talk to the public that way, the public is on side. We're not hearing that kind of talk, frankly.
Yeah.
We have to do better. We have to do better.
Let me just go at the average argument. Let me take one pass at that, because, you know, I think that is the meme that's out there. You know, don't worry, Canadians. We're having an average response. The reality is, actually, as of this week, we're behind France, Germany, Italy in terms of percentage vaccination. Not a lot, but, you know, three, four percentage points. It's still something to note. The second thing I guess I would say about average is that I was willing to make the trade on for let's say less dynamism, let's say, than the American, Israeli, or let's say even the Australian kind of experience of what it means to be a citizen.
And less inequality, Richard.
So. Right. But I was willing to go for the, you know, for the Canadian model on the basis that kind of like a stock portfolio, I'd be risk adjusted in a variety of other ways, so that I could enjoy my life and I could have a sense of security about the future. And I guess what's shaking me, Janice, is that sense of security, that trade-off, no longer seems like such a good bet. Frankly, it seems like I made a bad bet. I made a bet on a country and a system that was so risk-averse that was so sclerotic, that was so incapable of rising not to one or two challenges. Every government's going to fail one or two challenges of COVID, whether that's contact tracing or vaccine procurement. But in this case, we failed every single one. We didn't fail to protect long-term care homes once. We failed to protect them twice. We didn't fail simply on vaccine procurement. We're failing on vaccine distribution. We didn't simply botch contact tracing, as you know better than most people. We completely botched rapid testing. We still don't have rapid testing 13 months into this. So, Janice, why am I wrong to say, you know what, maybe it's time to think about greener pastures elsewhere where you do get that dynamism? Yeah, maybe you get a little more risk, but choosing to mitigate risk by staying in Canada to cling on to good government as a risk mitigation strategy sure didn't pay off for me in this circumstance.
Well, again, I don't want to paint the picture in an overly bleak, and that's really the challenge for Canadians.
Why not be bleak, Janice? This is bleak. Come on.
No, go
with me to bleak. Join me in bleak.
I am not joining you in bleak here, Rudyard. And that's actually the trap for Canadians right now. Because if you look at the vaccine rollout, for instance, in the province of Ontario, shots came, you know, supply came in on a Sunday. They were rolling out by a Tuesday. Yes, some 25% of appointments didn't get filled, but they're moving, they're adjusting. If you actually look at the performance on vaccine rollout,
Janice, the entire city of Toronto can only vaccinate 8,000 people a day if all of its centers are open and working. Last time I looked, there's 2.9 people in the greater Toronto region. That's going to take some time at 8,000 people a day.
It's going up. I'm telling you, it's going up, and I see the numbers. It's going up. So here's the challenge with going to bleakness, that because we lack, and I think this is generically true, because we've lacked a sense of urgency here and an unwillingness to take risk. That is really the issue here. Right. Our performance has been, for anybody who's looking at it, frustratingly slow, and we've missed the opportunity to get out in front of a very smart virus, as other countries have. But again, we have to ask, what do we want of our governments? That's really the issue, because this is a 1-in-100-year pandemic, and hopefully we don't have to go through something like this quite again, you know, and at least for another decade or so. So what do we want in our government? What do you want, Rudyard? Do you want your government to insure you against the worst possible outcome? That's what we've asked of our governments in this country. And we've told them over and over and over, it's on us. Don't make a mistake. And boy, if you make one, you are on the front page of the Globe, and we are going to go after you. The slightest violation of process, you're skewered, frankly, in quite a vicious way in public.
100%.
You tell people that at the political level, and more importantly to me, at the civil service level, we're doing this to you, and nobody speaks up for these people.
Yeah, I agree.
When they're skewered that way.
Not going to get an argument from me on that. But here's what, just my final point, but this is where I think the good place, the bleakness eventually leads you to, which is bleakness leads you to anger. And anger leads the public to a place where our politicians and our political leaders feel the urgency of the moment. What you've been talking about with such prescience over the last number of weeks. What I find depressing about Canada right now is our complacency with this. The extent to which our political leaders know that they've buried us in money, in cash subsidies, that we're kind of sedated at this moment, they're not feeling the ire, the anger that would cause them to do just what you want to do, which is to take risks, to break things, to have that sense of national crisis. That's what, in some ways, makes me the most depressed, is that we're not angrier. We're not saying to these politicians, you fix this now, you get this right. boy, and if you don't, you're out of there. And instead, all their polling numbers show, from the national governments to the regional governments to the local governments, all these politicians are cruising in there with polling numbers that suggest re-election.
Absolutely.
Makes me so confounded by my fellow citizens. Like, what am I doing here? Do I belong to this country anymore?
Rudyard, I agree with you. I'm all in on anger right now and all out on bleakness. And, you know, and it's that anger. And actually, you know that I've been seriously involved for the last 8 months in dealing with our provinces and our federal government on rapid antigen screening in these essential workplaces, which are now the heart of the outbreak. And that's part of the reason you're locked down, because we didn't get it in on time. So my anger just explodes now, frankly. And it is, so here's, I think, what's really important. It is really important for Canadians to feel, yeah, we're average, but you know what? We're not happy with being average. Average is not good enough for us. And coming out of this, when we get out of lockdown and we do get 60 or 70% of our population vaccinated, and we have routine screening in our schools and our essential workplaces, which is where we need to get it going. And we're going to do that this summer, or I will lose it completely, frankly. it's not good enough. But there's a more general message, I think, that comes out of this one. Average is not good enough. It is not good enough. And there's no excuse for being average, because you know what? We can do better than that. We have the talent. We have the innovators. Yes. We have the smarts. We're just not asking enough of ourselves. And I agree with you. Say to our governments, as soon as public starts saying to our governments, average is not good enough, this changes. Sure. But you look at the public opinion polls, federally and provincially, that's not there yet.
That's an election slogan I'd march under. Average is not good enough. You've been listening to a sample of the Monk Members Only podcast. To access the rest of the episode, consider becoming a member. Membership is free and available at www.monkdebates.com. Once you've joined as a member, go to your membership profile to access the rest of this episode and all of our Monk Members podcasts. Thanks for listening.